How many people have your Bible today? That is a beautiful thing. Look around. That's God's Word where it needs to be, high and lifted up, right? Amen. You may be seated. There are several places you can turn today. We're going to jump around just a little, but if you want to just stay in the right area, we're going to start in Romans chapter 8. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 12. And we're going to be in the book of John chapter 15 and 16. So Romans, 2 Corinthians, and John. When you find your place, say, I have it. There's a passage of Scripture in the Bible that I learned at an early age, and I'm sure that you know this passage too, and you've heard people say it, and you've wondered sometimes when someone said it to you, well, how can this be a good thing? And it's Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, Paul tells us, he says, and we know that all things work together for good. For what? Tell me again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So as I hear this and as you hear this, I want to be honest with you today. There are some times when I've heard this verse and I know it myself. And when things have happened, I've thought, how in the world could this be good? Have you ever been in that situation? I know God says all things work together for good, but how can these things be good? You see, it came down to me realizing that it's up to which place I put them. I can put them in the good category, I can put them in the bad category. You know, so many times we think we're the ultimate judge of that. So today, as we talk about this, I want to talk about some of the bad things that happen and some of the good things that happen from the bad things. I realize that if I look back through my life, I'll see a lot of sorrow. Maybe you will too, won't you? I know that I've sat with a lot of you in here as you went through sorrow. I've sat with you as you've grieved. I've sat with you when you couldn't figure out things. And a while back, there was a thought that came to my mind as I was in the middle of counseling somebody. And as they left, I began to explore this. And this is how sermons are born. And I wanted to preach this sermon. And I would see it in the lives as something would happen to you or you or you or me. And it would become all so evident again. And I never had freedom to preach it till today. I want to preach a sermon called Growing Comes Through Grieving. Growing comes through grieving. And I want to tell you how important it is for us to get a grip on this, because you'll realize that all growth anywhere comes through grieving. As a matter of fact, that's the way we're set up. But do you know that God can help you through these times? In a matter of not having you feel like you're feeling, but actually having joy? You say, no way. And Mike, there's no way. You're going to put that spiritual spin on this thing. Listen, I don't want to put a spiritual spin on this. Washington does enough of that, right? We're in church. God has put in His Word what we need to hear so that we can see growing comes through grieving. Now, I want to tell you before we start, God has one purpose for you and one purpose for me. That is not for you to succeed at that job that you're at. It is not for you to be all those things you think you want to be. It is not for you to be as rich as you want to be, to have the house you want to have. If you're a child of God, His desire for you today, listen, is for you to grow closer to Him today than you were yesterday. His desire when you walk in this building today is not just to see the people you're going to fellowship with. It's that when you leave, you are closer to Him when you leave than when you come in here. Now, do you know what His desire for you is tomorrow? The same thing. The next day, the same thing. Every day to grow closer with God. Because ultimately, that's what it's all about. So as we start today trying to understand how all things can work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, I want you to turn over a couple of books in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because I think Paul speaks to this and addresses this in such a clear manner. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, are you there? Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth. And as we read these verses, listen to what he says beginning in verses 15. He says, for all things. How many things?
All.
Say that word again.
All.
For all things are for your sakes. Does that mean good things and bad things? It does. How many things? All things. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Pray with me. Lord God, I pray you open our eyes to what you have to tell us today. Open our ears to what you have to tell us. I pray, God, that you give us discernment of your word. Let us understand what you want us to hear. I pray, God, you would give us remembrance of your word, Lord. Let us be able to take it away and retain it in our mind. And then I pray, God, that you let it be applicable in our lives and the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul speaks here on the same subject that we're thinking about. I want you to notice the difference in his thinking. I want you to look as he makes this statement in verse 17 that says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want you to consider the man that said this. The man that said this probably faced more persecution, more trials and hardships than any man. And here's how he categorized the problems in his life as light affliction. So I'm not trying to tell you today, first of all, how many people today have had problems in their life? Raise your hand. All right. And the ones that didn't have a problem with telling the truth, right? We've all had problems, right? Now, I don't want to minimize your problems or minimize my problems, but I'm going to talk to a man that, or listen to a man that really had problems, Paul. And he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I look at this man, and I've got two ways to look at him. Either he is crazy off his rocker, or he has got something that I really want to have. Even if you say he's crazy off his rocker, you still need to have what he has. Because in the middle of his diversity, in the middle of each situation that changes, in the middle of his life that's filled with trouble, in the middle of his persecution, in the middle of his trials and hardships, in his problems, he has categorized them as light affliction. That means they're not a huge thing, they're a light affliction. You say, well, I've suffered some huge things, so did Paul. Now understand, Paul has a different mindset. He has a mindset in verse 18. He says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, Paul had this spirit of joy, this spirit of excitement, this spirit of enthusiasm with life because he categorized his problems as light affliction. And I think sometimes when we have a choice, we categorize our afflictions, our problems, as bad and good. Now, I want you to get with me on this because this is something that I think happens inside of our head that we don't really think about. We have two categories in our mind. One is bad and one is good. Something happens to your day that doesn't go along with what you think it should happen. Where do you put that? You put that in the bad category, right? So if somebody asks you, how was your day? Bad day. This happened in my mind, right? If everything worked out your way, good day. Bad day, good day. So we do our own categorizing, don't we? Paul just had it in his mind where he had a category that said bad and good and most everything was good. So how can you get to this mind frame like Paul had that said, okay, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of affliction, even in the midst of trouble, he's saying it's light affliction. And I'm convinced it's because Paul had a different mindset. Paul was accepting trouble in life and praising God for it. How can you actually do that? You see, Paul had a heaven mindset. A heaven mindset. How do you know? See, Paul had a mindset that let him think past the temporary into the eternal. That thing that you've been so upset about. Whether it was your job, whether it was financial, whether it was a relationship. That happened in a temporary world. And you're going to spend a certain amount of time in a temporary world, but you're going to spend the rest of your life in an eternal world. And Paul had stepped over out of the temporary, and he had an eternal mindset. Listen to the end of this. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He saw any suffering and sorrow as light affliction. He saw it as temporary. Now, let's go back to our categories. If you had that in your mind, that bad category and good category. Now, what if something happened to you and immediately you were able to say, now that would go in the bad category, but the bad category is temporary. How would you feel? A little bit better? Absolutely. And that's where Paul is at. Paul is where we need to be. He's not crazy. He's got a heaven mindset. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever felt sorrow? Anyone in here ever felt sorrow? I know you have. I've been with a lot of you through that sorrow. Have you ever had trouble in your life? If you have, say amen. Amen. Have you ever faced a situation that you had no answer for? These things are going to happen to us in everybody's lives, but do you know that the category that you put them in makes all the difference in how you go through this life? The category. Whether you have a heaven mindset or you don't have a heaven mindset. If you can live with a heaven mindset, you'll see your sorrow, get this, turned into joy. That sorrow you're facing right now, you will see it turned into joy. And this is universal. It applies to everything, but I don't want you to take my word for it because God shows us throughout His word this is going to happen. Jesus actually preached the message in John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, He stood in front of His disciples trying to explain to them that He was going to go away for a while. And they were going to be without Him, but the fact that He was going away, it was going to be a good thing. And listen as He preaches this sermon to them, beginning in John chapter 16, verse 16. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me again, because I go to the Father. Then said some of His disciples among themselves, what is this that He saith unto us? A little while and you shall see me, and again a little while and you shall see me not. They said therefore, what is this? Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him, and He said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me? Now listen to what He says to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Don't you know that Jesus was preaching a message here? That sorrow could be turned to joy. And I want you to see today, because I'm like you are. I've been in a place before where I felt sorrow. And I want you to visibly see what is around you today, just you personally, if you are in that state of sorrow, or maybe when you face it in your life, because you will. There are things going on around you that you might not know. And the Bible's going to show them to us, because Jesus says when you're in that state of sorrow, God's purpose is to turn that sorrow into joy. I want you to look, because he gives us a picture of how he explains this to us. He said, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you. That's a good illustration. Jesus was able to say, consider a woman that's about to have a baby. Now, have you ever been, if you're a woman or have ever been beside of a woman that's giving birth, would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. It's not a love moment. It's a moment of travail. Her body is doing things that it doesn't normally do. And there's pain. And nothing else in the world matters. But then, the baby is born. And if it was 1 hour of labor, or 24 hours of labor, when the baby is born, you don't think about the pain. You think, I would have done it again. Right? That's the example he gives. He says that joy has to come through sorrow. Now, at the end of this, verse 33, he makes this statement, John 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. So he's telling us why he gave this to them. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, how many people have realized in this world we will have tribulation? Well, if you go back to 2 Corinthians 4 and read on to 2 Corinthians 5, you'll see that we're told by Paul, in this world we will groan. In this temporary world, we will have problems. And we will. All of you raised your hand or should have. We've all had problems. We know in this life we're going to have sorrow. We're going to have problems. How can we have peace that Jesus talks about with having these problems? How can we be of good cheer? We have to look past the temporary sorrow in order to see that God is letting us experience something that will help us forever. Now, I told you earlier that we're going to talk about growing and grieving today. Growing comes through grieving, can be applied all through your life. But not if you don't understand grieving. To grieve, and I have a definition for you, is to cause deep sorrow, to feel grief, to mourn, to have a broken heart. Has anyone in here ever grieved then? Yes, that's to feel sorrow. And that's a good definition. We usually associate this with a person who's lost a loved one. We say they are what? They're grieving. Which means they're sorrowful, they're upset, they're troubled, and that's exactly what grieving means. But there are many other things that cause us to grieve, not just the passing of a loved one. Of course, death does. It makes us feel sorrowful. We cry, we look for answers. Our heart is broken because that person that we love or the person that has loved us is not here anymore. You know, we grieve over our physical health sometimes. Maybe we've been given a bad diagnosis from a doctor. Maybe someone that we love has been given a bad diagnosis and we begin to be upset. We cry. We look for answers. Our heart becomes broken. We wonder why. Maybe it's job loss or uncertain future plans. We become sorrowful. We become troubled. We look for answers. We think, hey, what about this or what about that? I've got to have this job to do this. And we begin to grieve. In all these cases, we grieve, don't we? What about marriage problems? Marriage problems cause such deep sorrow, loneliness, broken heart, emptiness. You know what? It causes us to grieve. What about a child, separation from a child? When children leave home, you know, we become sorrowful, we mourn, we feel helpless as parents, we grieve. Financial problems. We do a lot of grieving over financial problems, don't we? A lot of our attitudes and emotions, the way that we walk on an everyday basis, is based on if we are financially okay, having a good day, or not having a good day, right? And we grieve. All of these things put us in a state of sorrow and grief, and we look at these times as bad times. We put them in a bad category, and we dwell on the sorrow. But something happens during these times that we need to see. And that is this phrase, that during this grieving, growing happens. Growing comes through grieving. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions today. I want you to think about this just to yourself. Number one, are you grieving today? Are you grieving today? It doesn't have to be over the loss of a loved one. It can be over any of those things we said. Are you grieving today? And I want to tell you, if you're grieving today, you are in the middle of an opportunity to grow. You say, well, I would just as soon not grow. Remember, God's plan for all of us is for us to grow closer to Him. For us not to want to grow closer to Him is not to be doing His will, is not to want what God wants for us. It means that we don't have that heaven mindset at all. We're stuck in that temporary mindset. You say, well, have you beat this? Listen, I'm preaching it to all of us because we need help with it, right? How many of you want to jump out of this temporary mindset into a heaven mindset? How many of you? Do you think it'll help you? Look at Paul. You see, if you answer these questions, number one, is your heart broken? Do you feel sorrowful? You need to know that at this time, God is so close to you. He has His hand reached out to you. He wants you to take His hand and grow close to Him. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to depend on Him. He wants you to know Him better. And sometimes the only way we really grow closer to God, get this, nobody wants to hear this, is when we're forced to grow closer to God. You see, we never seem to be as close to God as when we're sorrowful, as when we're helpless, as when we have a broken heart, as when we're grieving. Sometimes we're forced to grow closer to God by a Father that loves us. What do you mean? Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm on top of the world, when everything's going my way, when everything works out and no problems, and I'm on the mountaintop, I'm not usually seeking to get closer to God. Are you? Do you know when I get close to God? When I run out of my resources. That's when we get closer to God. It's almost as if we're forced to get closer to Him. We take all these things for granted until we don't have them, and then all of a sudden, God, I need You, and I need You in a bad way. And that's the result of the sorrow. So in the sorrow, we grow. Does this make sense? I'll put it to you this way. The psalmist David said it, and I love it. He said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That means near. If you have a broken heart right now, if you're in sorrow, I want you to know what's going on around you. God is so close to you. He's so close to you. He's just like the best father in the world, that when their child is hurting, that father's going to be close to them. He says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That means of a remorseful spirit. Hey, they've said, I can't do it. I need You to do it for me. Please help me. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, them wilt Thou not despise. You know what he says? God's looking for that in us. That's what he wants to see. Psalms 147:3. He healeth the burden, broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. So understand that God not only sees you have a broken heart, He not only sees you in sorrow, guess what He wants to do? He wants to fix it. He wants to turn that sorrow into joy. And you're thinking about your sorrow right now. You say, how can He do this? God can do it. He's never put anything in here and said anything He couldn't do. I want you to notice what He's trying to tell us, though. When we're in sorrow, our heart is broken, then our ability to receive the help of God increases. We need to look at our heart. Now, in an animate way, all right? Your heart inside of you, that is what holds your happiness, your peace, your joy, right? It's not your physical heart. That's your inner being, okay? So I want you to picture this as an animate object. Let's picture it as a big clay pot. Can you do that? That big clay part inside of you. Well, what happens when your heart inside of you receives bad news? Or you're struggling with something? Or it didn't work out the way you wanted it to? Or someone's let you down? Or there's a health issue? Or you fear of losing someone? Or you have lost someone? Or you have uncertainty about your future? All of a sudden, your heart, well, it begins to break, doesn't it? And when that pot begins to break, what runs out? Your peace, your happiness run out, right? Until you feel empty and sorrowful. And actually, when those things run out, I don't know about yours, but when they run out of me, it looks like tears. It is tears. From a broken heart comes tears, right? There's a story in the book of Jeremiah where God addresses this. And you know what He says? He says, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house in Jeremiah 18. He said, I have something that I want to say to you, but a picture is going to be better than anything, Jeremiah. Walk down to this potter's house, and I want you to see this potter. Because this potter took a lump of clay, and he put it on the potter's wheel. And he formed this clay in his hand, and he made that clay into what it was. But then he saw that the thing that he made was marred. Now the potter's hand did not mar it. The clay was marred. It was imperfect. Either it had the wrong glaze, or maybe it had a rock in it, or maybe the consistency, or maybe it was too sandy. But you know what the potter did? The potter took that vessel and he put it back on the wheel. And he remade that vessel. That's what God wants to do to us. He wants to come back in and remake that vessel. And we're so intent on going the other way sometimes when we face sorrow and grief, we want to look up at God and say, why, as if we don't need to change anything, as if we don't need to grow. But actually what we need to do is get back in that potter's hand and get worked a little bit more. Why? So that we can be a better vessel. I need pictures in my mind, don't you? You know, last week we talked about the subject, I need help, right? Say it with me again. Say it loud.
I need help.
Say it like you mean it.
I need help.
And you have to be able to get to the point of saying, I need help. Every person in the world has to get to this point. Every person in order to have a relationship with God has to get to this point of saying, I need help. You may be here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I can tell you something. I was just like you one time. And I had to get to the point of realizing that I needed help. That I couldn't save myself. That I was in danger of perishing. That if something happened to me, I wasn't going to be all right. Do you know that hell is filled with people who never said, I need help? Not to God. You see, God made this help available to every single person here. His name was Jesus Christ. You have to accept what Jesus did for you. That He died for you. He was persecuted. He was beaten. That His blood covers your sins. That He lived this sinless life. That He was buried and resurrected. Why do you need to accept this? Because He is the only way that you can get to God, by believing, sincerely believing He did this, and trusting the gift that God gave you to help you. And if you do this, if you cry out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner, I'm in trouble, then God will help you. But I'm going to tell you, during this process, there's some sorrow. Well, why? Because you have to realize you're in trouble. You have to realize you're not all right. Here's what happens if you never change, if you never get help. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So if you finish your life and you've never stopped and accepted Jesus, then the end result, the wages of sin is death. He's talking about eternal death. He's talking about hell. But he says the gift of God is eternal life. What kind of life? Now that's the opposite of temporary, right? So he's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we get that opportunity. Why? Because God loves us. He said he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Well, grab a hold of this. You see, we have to get this bad news in order to get the good news. What do you mean? I've been told all my life as a Christian, I need to be able to go out and share the good news. You do. But do you realize that no person in this world can accept the good news until they accept the bad news? I'm telling you, my job as pastor here is to share the bad news and the good news. And you know what? Churches have quit doing that. There's a lot of people that are going to walk out of churches today and they haven't heard the bad news. Listen, if they never hear the bad news, they'll never have sorrow. If they never have sorrow, they won't have a broken heart. If they don't have a broken heart and see themselves in that condition, they'll never be able to accept the good news because they won't think that they need it. This is amazing. You see, we have to be able to get to that point of sorrow and brokenhearted, of grieving, until we can begin to grow with God. You can't accept God, you can't accept Jesus as your Savior and get to God until you realize the sorrowful condition that you're in. You have to see yourself as helpless. There's not a person who will ever ask God to help them out of their bad situation if they never see themselves in a bad situation. You realize that? And if you leave church today and you say, oh, well, I feel good, I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm right where I need to be, and well, praise God for that. But if all of you do, because the Word of God didn't preach anything that you needed to change, then nobody will change because nobody will be convicted. And understand, salvation can't come without repentance. Repentance can't come without conviction. And conviction can't come without guilt. So I have to see myself as guilty. And I will tell you, anybody else in here guilty? Guilty. When someone sees their need to be saved, they become troubled. They become nervous. They see themselves in trouble with a problem that they have no power to fix unless they turn to God. We call this being under conviction. Have you ever watched someone go through this, or have you ever experienced it yourself? I can remember before I got saved, I had an overwhelming feeling of nervousness. God, I hear about being saved, and I see this person being saved, and I don't know if I'm saved. I believe you, but I don't know that I've ever asked you to come into my life. And I know about God, and I believe in God, but then I realized even the devil believes in God. It's not about believing in God. It's about accepting Jesus as your Savior to cover your sins. And I was thinking, okay, I don't know. I'm not saved. I don't think I'm saved. And I was nervous. And I can remember, the only thing that could cure that was me making it right. And as that preacher said the last word, I was out of my pew because I thought the Lord was going to come back and here I am, not saved. I was troubled. I was sorrowful. I was grieving at my condition. But praise God, because of that, I grew into a child of God. Now, I've watched people. I'll see people as they're in here today, and you see people under conviction. You see the Word of God hit them. And it breaks my heart when someone leaves here and you know God's Word is spoken to them and you don't know. You say, well, you don't have to know. You're exactly right. I don't have to know. But my heart can still be broken. Why? Well, you want that person in their sorrow to respond. But praise God. I'll get a call sometimes and somebody will say, Pastor Mike, I really need to talk to you. I don't know what in the world is going on with me. I don't know what it is. I can't think about things right. What I used to think is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. And I'm troubled, and I don't know if I'm having a nervous breakdown. What is happening to me? And I hold the phone down. I say, God, they're under conviction. Please get them here. Let's set up something and get them here, or I'll go to them. That's what's happening to you. It's a sorrowful time. You see yourself as desperate. You see yourself as lost. But through that grieving comes growing. Has to happen. Glory to God. You see, every person has to go through this grief and sorrow and fear of seeing themselves in a helpless condition before they can change that condition and ask God to save them. When a person begins to grieve and feel sad and upset about the condition of trouble that they're in, and then ask God to help them and believe in Jesus as their way out of trouble, then God saves them and they begin to grow in a relationship with God. So we see that through the sorrowful time of grieving about their condition of being lost, they become saved and they begin to grow as a child of God. So growing comes through grieving. Now, you may say, well, I've grown that way. I'm a Christian now. I would just soon not grow that other way. I got something for you today. As Christians, those who've been saved, we need to see that this same principle of growing through grieving is something that God has told us has to happen in order for us to grow closer and closer to Him. That's how He made us. We have to grieve in order to grow. I think now that when we don't want to accept that way, all we have to do is just look at the physical nature of things. I've looked at my children, and as I see them grow, and you've probably experienced this too, and I know within the last year, once come in and said, my legs are hurting, my arms are hurting, but I didn't do anything. What is it? What is it called? Growing pains. It hurts to grow, right? Through that grieving, though, you what? You grow. I look back and I look at the things that have to happen. Even the plants and the trees. If you want that tree to grow taller, you have to be able to trim the bottom of it, right? And through that grieving comes growth. Well, you see, it's always been there. It's just we fail to apply it to our own life. Sometimes we have to go through grieving so that we can have our eyes open to the things that God wants us to see. The Apostle Paul explained this in the book of 2 Corinthians that we were in. In chapter 12, he talks about something that happened to him. It was a growing part of his life. And I want to read you these couple of verses because to me, this story always stands out. I'm thinking to me, this same Apostle Paul, how could he actually rejoice in the fact that he had problems? Listen, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." You know what a thorn in the flesh is? It's a problem, isn't it? He was given a thorn in the flesh. You say, what do you think it is? We're not even going to go there today. That's another sermon. He had a problem. Let's just call it a problem, okay? A thorn in the flesh. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me." Now this Paul, you have to think, this is a godly man. And he's praying a prayer saying, God, I can minister for you better. I can do all this thing better if you can just take this problem away from me. If you could just heal me of this, I can minister for you better. But God basically said, Paul, you need this problem. I know you better than you know you. I love this. "And he said unto me," who said unto him? God said unto him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." How in the world do you get to this mindset of saying, when everything seems to go wrong, when things don't work out, when I'm troubled, when I'm distressed, when my life feels like it's in the midst of turmoil, when I'm grieving, how can I have joy in this? Because Paul is saying, when I am weak, when I can't figure it out, when I'm grieving, then I'm growing closer to God. Because I'm weak, I can't figure it out myself, I have to depend on God. You see, Paul realized in this problem that it was not an opportunity for him to be discouraged. It was an opportunity for him to grow closer to God. He recognized that when he was weak, then he had to depend on the strength of God. He realized that his growing came through grieving. So Paul looked at this opportunity and he said, praise God, I'm growing. I'm growing, I'm growing, I'm growing. Is this normal? No, it's peculiar. And you know what God calls us? Peculiar people. This comes from somebody that has a heaven mindset. Now you say, well, you're trying to be just Mr. Johnny Sunshine. You think that everything in the world that can happen is just, you can just put this spin on. No, no. I've reached a point in my life when I'm realizing some things that are really helping me. And I want to share them with you. And it's not a spin you're putting on them. God tells you, as a child of God, you've got these resources. You see, every time we go through a situation where we're grieving and we can't seem to help the situation and we turn to God, then we grow closer to God. And that is the ultimate goal that God has for every one of us, is that we grow closer to Him. When we go through these trials of life and troubles, we see that God wants us to see the things that we never saw when everything in life was going the way we wanted it to. Don't you know you see with a different sight when you're going through things? You recognize the things that you've taken for granted, don't you? And you grow. Paul made a comment in Ephesians 1. He prayed for the church at Ephesus that their eyes would be enlightened, their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know God better. And here's what we have to realize today. Here's your heaven mindset. Little step you can get up on. Understand that the goal of you being created was to grow closer to God. It was not to do that job you're doing. Listen, here's a big one. It was not even for you to be the parents you are. It was not for you to be the person you are. It was to grow closer to God. Everything that you say, this is what I am, understand, take that away and understand you're a creation of God. God breathed the breath of life in you. He created you, and now He wants you to grow closer to Him. You have all these other things while you're doing that, but God wants you to grow closer to Him. Everything else is, hold on, temporary. Temporary. You see, I can think of things that have happened in my life that I would have never wanted. But now I look on them and I say that I really needed them. I needed them to grow closer to God. I've lost loved ones, and I love them, and I wanted them to be near me, and I wanted to be near them. And in losing them, it taught me to love the people that are left around me more frequently. I grew closer to God, realizing that life is temporary. You know, losing someone and grieving that way, you really grow, don't you? You think about things you don't normally think about. And when I preach a funeral, it's full of people who are having to embrace the thought of life and death that day. And you grow when you embrace that thought. You really grow in the middle of that grief. I faced financial hardship before to where I just didn't know how it was going to work out. And I was grieving. And it occupied my mind. I was in a state of sorrow. I didn't have an answer. And I saw God deliver me. And I grew in a way I never would have grown if I didn't have to depend on His provision. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever have that happen? So I grew through that grieving. I faced that separation from children before. Listen, if you're entering that era in life where your children are getting older, And you think, oh, it's tough. I've got this kid here. This one's around my feet, and this one's around my feet, and I can't get any rest. Let me tell you when it gets hard, when they're not in arm's reach. And you're pouring your heart out, praying for them to stay close to God. I look back, and I remember leaving my daughter up at college when she went. And I felt like I left her at the bus stop. I drove home and I couldn't talk. I couldn't say a word. I couldn't do nothing, but my heart grieved. I left my baby there. What in the world is she going to do? Taking care of her my whole life. I protected her. I provided. She could always come to Daddy, and I've left her here. And I grieved. I mourned. Until God told me, hey, you've never taken care of her on your best day. You've never provided for her. You stood in the gap that I allowed you to, but I've taken care of her, and now you need to learn to trust me to do it when you're away from her. And I grew in my walk with God because I talked to him more about her when she's gone than I ever did when she was with me. I can remember a couple of years ago, I grieved over a health situation. I began to notice I couldn't quit shaking, and I started shaking and shaking. I said, it's not normal. I hid it because I was embarrassed of it when it got to where I couldn't hide it anymore. I went to the doctor, and as we sat in there, and the doctor said, well, listen, you've got the early stages of Parkinson and these tremors and this and that. And I began to be grieved and mourn. I made the mistake of going to look it up and seeing what came from it. And I thought, good gracious, what's going to happen? I'm this age. I stood up here and preached to you guys and clenched my hands so tight and held them so you wouldn't see it and be distracted. I stood down there and almost just squeezed the blood out of my hands because I didn't want them to shake and be distracted. I go out to eat and I couldn't get the food from my plate to my mouth without shaking off the fork. Does anybody remember that? And I grieved and I mourned. Praise God. I was in my office one day and I was writing and it was such a burden. I do so much writing. As I was writing, I was realizing I can't even keep my pen still. That doesn't even look like that word. And I threw my pen down. I said, God. And God let me realize, you know what? Little man, you don't even have enough power to keep your little hand from shaking. And it's right at the end of your arm so you can see it every day, how little you are. And you know, you must decrease for me to increase. And I'm going to tell you what, immediately I began to praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in the middle of this thing. You've got it to where I'm going to keep myself in check. I'm nothing, you're everything. If I have to see it every day, if I have to struggle with it every day, praise you for it. You say you're crazy. No, I'm healed. He took it off me just like it came on me. I'm telling you, in the middle of grieving, you grow. You think about things you wouldn't normally think about. This past week, I had something happen to me. And listen, sometimes you get past the point of thinking you're sick and you get thinking, hey, this is it. You ever been there? You pray like you've never prayed. It gets you where you need to be. You say, oh, well, that was bad. Have they figured out? Has anything happened? No, listen. It's the greatest thing that happened to me this week. Best thing that happened to me this week. Why? Because I grew this week. I grew. Thinking about things different. Feeling different. Praying different. I think I'd forgotten for a little while that I might have this as my last day. And I think I work better if I think this is my last day. What about you? Growing comes through grieving. You see, God has to prune us in order to make us grow. When we look back in the book of John, he gives us an example of this in chapter 15. You don't have to turn there. You know the story. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You know what that means? He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Child of God, you might be doing everything in the world right. Listen, God still needs to prune us, doesn't he? Why? Because we need to grow. And growing comes through grieving. Now, in all this that we've said today, you think, okay, is this just your theory? Now, I'm going to tell you, I look back in the Bible, and I've taken every Bible story that I can remember. You could go back to Abraham in the beginning. I remember as Abraham walked his son up that mountain, and he thought, this is the worst day of my life. I finally have a son. I'm going to have to sacrifice him on this altar. Don't you know that that was a grievous time for him? And as he laid Isaac on that altar and he put the wood underneath him and God said, you must sacrifice. And he drew his knife back. Don't you know he was grieving? Praise God. Do you know how much he grew through that? When God said, hold on, I provided a lamb. He grew through that, didn't he? And you think about Joseph. I mean, Joseph. He had every reason in the world to complain and say, why in the world is this happening to me? My brother sold me out to slavery. I got here to this place I was at, and then all of a sudden, the place I was working, I got framed by Potiphar's wife. I was thrown in jail. This person forgot me. That person forgot me. That's trouble, isn't it? Don't you know he was grieving on those long nights in jail? Praise God. He grew. Not only did he grow, others grew from him. He made a big impact, didn't he? Daniel, you think, how in the world could Daniel, a slave? Nebuchadnezzar had plans for him, and they took him into the palace, and then they wanted him to bow down to their god, and he refused it. He ended up in the lion's den, and you think, how in the world could this be good? How could you get joy out of this? Daniel lived the rest of his life knowing that he didn't need to be afraid of a lion. Did he? No. He grew through that grieving. That night when he made that lion his pillow, he saw how big God was, didn't he? No one would ever ask to be thrown in there, right? He grew through that grieving. And then I think of Peter. You know, Peter messed up and denied Christ 3 times. Don't you know he grieved between the time that Jesus was crucified and the time he saw him again standing on the banks when he was fishing? Let me tell you, the first one to jump out of the boat. Peter grew during that time of grieving. Jesus said, upon you, Peter, I'll build my church. Upon that way you believe. You see, I'm convinced, and I've shared this with you before, but I'll share it again. I'm convinced if we can get in this heaven mindset, the minute that you leave this world, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the minute you leave this world and you step into heaven, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord, right? The 1 minute, and I'm giving us a minute, that gives us time to sort of take everything in that we're going to see in heaven. Now understand, heaven's going to be all about being close to God. It's not going to be about where you came from, what street you lived on, your house number, what kind of house, what kind of car, any of those things. It's going to be about being close to God. That's what it's about. The minute we're in heaven, I'm convinced that we will praise God for every sorrowful time that we went through in life. Why? Because through that grieving, it's when we grew closer to Him. We won't praise God for the thing in life that worked out with our job, the thing that worked out with this relationship, the money that we have, the bank account that we have, the car that we drive, this that we have, what we're able to do. We won't praise God for that because during those times, a lot of times, we didn't grow any closer to God. Throughout eternity, we'll praise God for every moment of sorrow. Our mind will completely be switched from the way that it is now. Imagine that. I found myself even at times thanking God at the end of the year. Thank God for this blessing and thank God for this blessing. And forgot to go back and say, God, thank you for this day that I thought my life was falling apart. Because I really got close to you. That was the blessing. Because he turns that sorrow into joy. Through grieving, we grow closer to him. You say, does it take some work to think like that? Yeah. Yeah. It takes faith. It takes not looking at this temporary. Now, are you a Christian? Do you really believe in this heaven thing? Do you really believe that God is in control and that He has more for you than just this life? Now, it's not really hard to think that way if you really believe. But the devil would have you get caught up in this temporary. And when that grieving comes, instead of growing to God, we grow away from Him. And we become bitter. And we become discontent. And we almost pose the question to God, why, God, does this happen to me? As if we have any control or would even know if it was good or not. And what I have to ask myself at that time is, hey, last time I checked, I wasn't the one that helped God raise the sunshine in the morning. He didn't confer with me. He said to Job, where were you when I set the earth on its axis? Big boy, you think you're so smart? Why you want to question me? God said, all things work together for good to them that love God. So this good category and this bad category, hey, isn't it a difference in which category you put it in? Are you a child of God? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
Do you believe that all things work together for good?
Amen.
Then you need to expand the good category and know that sorrow can turn into joy. It'll give you peace to live with. Don't you know it's going to affect somebody else in this life when they see that you're looking with a heaven mindset?
Amen.
If you're in sorrow this morning, if you're grieving this morning, I can relate to you. I've been there, and I've been there recently. Let me tell you how close the Lord is to you right now. He's so close, you kneel down, you'll find Him. You cry out to Him and tell Him, I'm trusting you. He'll give you that peace. Like Jesus said, in the midst of trouble, I'll give you peace. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, I want you to know something right now. That nervous feeling you're feeling, that sorrowful feeling, it has to come. Act on that feeling. You come and we'll pray together. God will save you and you'll have joy. Christian, have we made that category grow so big that we've become discontent in this life, that bad category? Have we dwelled in it? Have we lost our peace? Have we tried to plan our lives ahead of God? He tells you you're His child. He loves you and that all these things work together for good. You don't have to understand Him. You just have to know that this is temporary. When you get that mindset, today will be better for you. Tomorrow will be better than today. The next day will be better. Why? Because you'll grow closer and closer and closer to God. I look at Paul and I say, how in the world can this man praise God in the middle of adversity? It's his mindset. He understood that grieving has to come in order for growing to come. Growing comes through grieving. Pray with me. Lord, I love you and I praise you. Lord, I know in this congregation today, Lord, all of us have faced heartache. All of us have faced grief in some kind of way, Lord. And we've questioned and we've wondered and we've had we've wanted answers. We've become discontent. We've put it in that bad category. I pray, God, today that you let us see your sovereign control over all these things. I pray, God, today for those that are struggling here in sorrow and in grief with a broken heart, not understanding what's happening. I pray, God, you let them see that joy that's so close to them. That you give them that sense of peace that only you can give them, knowing that you're holding not just today, but the rest of their life in your hand. I pray, God, today for that one that's here or those that are here that are lost, Lord, that don't know you as Savior, let them see the condition, Lord, like we all had to see. Lord, I pray you break their heart today and they act upon that. I pray, Lord, today for every Christian here. Lord, we take things for granted. We get caught up in this world. I pray, God, today that you would let us see things that we haven't seen before. You let us realize the condition and that faith grows as prayers of trust are lifted up to you, I pray, God, you move in this room today, helping us understand that you're growing us because you love us. And I pray, God, for that heaven mindset to be distributed upon the people that hear this message today. Lord, that you let us look at our whole life in a different way so that we can have that life, that example like Paul had. God, thank you for everything that's ever happened that caused me sorrow. Thank you for every time that you ever grew me close to you. I love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.